Well, it is election time, and not just in the United States. It's election runoff in Brazil tomorrow, which will have huge consequences, not only for Brazilians, but for planet Earth, as Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva tries to regain the presidency against the master misinformational, disinformational politician, current president, incumbent Jair Bolsonaro, who favors destroying the Amazon. The pollsters in Brazil got it pretty wrong in the first round, where they thought that Lula would win by more than 50% and wouldn't need a runoff. This time around, the polls give Lula a very slight edge. And a week from this Tuesday, the United States has its midterm elections. There were many election deniers, Trump supporters, running throughout the country as the House and or Senate seems to be the consensus is the House is what may go Republican. And there's also a key election this Tuesday in Israel, where it seems like it's game five of a best of seven series. It's the fifth election since 2019. This one also could very well end in another deadlock. The big difference this time is former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is trying to regain his crown and has aligned himself, just like Trump. Netanyahu is a secular politician, but aligns himself with the most extreme religious right-wing forces in Israel. And Trump, of course, did the same thing, aligning himself with the most ardent right-wing Republicans who have the most draconian outlook in terms of abortion and other issues. So Netanyahu has aligned himself with the most extreme right-wing, overtly racist parties in Israel's history. And this Gaza Corner will focus on the rising star of Israeli politics, a Jewish supremacist, Itamar Ben-Gvir, who is perfecting the art of normalizing racism in Israel, which is particularly finding a receptive audience among young religious Jews in Israel. He's kind of like a rock star. Ben-Gvir is a disciple of Meir Kahana, the Brooklyn-born founder of the Jewish Defense League. Remember the JDL? It championed a violent form of politics for vigilante Jews. It did bombings. He moved to Israel, Kahana. He was elected to the Knesset, which was the precipitation for, at that time, the Israeli mainstream to recognize that he was a danger and needed to be stopped. A law was passed that banned parties that were explicitly racist from running for the Knesset. Apparently, now that law either no longer exists or racism has become so normalized and mainstream in Israel, the law has no effect because Ben-Gvir and other racists are not only running, but are already in the Knesset. Kahana had a policy proposal that was, according to Jewish Currents contributor Josh Leifer, in a strange way, Kahana's proposal was a Jewish mirror of the Nuremberg laws of Nazi Germany, where Palestinians both inside Israel and in the occupied territories would have to be expelled by force. This is what Kahana believed in. He also believed that Jews could not marry Arabs, among other things. He also had a book which says it all. The book was called They Must Go. In the 1980s in Israel, there was broad opposition, including on the right, to Kahana's proposals. But today, 2022, Kahana is an icon of the Israeli far right. Enter Itamar Ben-Gvir. His political party is known as, it translates to Jewish Power, Atzma Yehudit. It had one seat in the Knesset, one seat, and is now poised to become the third largest party in the Knesset. Predictions are in the kind of 13 to 15 seat range after next Tuesday's election. Ben-Gvir's Jewish Power Party is aligned in a bloc with Bezalel Smotrich of the religious Zionism list, as well as the anti-LGBT party called Noam, N-O-A-M. But the majority of this bloc's appeal is because of Ben-Gvir. Smotrich is also an ultra-extremist. He has said that when it came to the Nakba, the catastrophe that expelled 750,000 Palestinians during the creation of Israel, Smotrich said, quote, Ben-Gurion should have finished the job and expelled all Palestinians from the river to the sea. If Ben-Gvir had a LinkedIn page, it would sound something like this. Ben-Gvir was banned from army service because of his membership in the Kahanist Kash group, which was the political party founded by Meir Kahana, which was designated, as I mentioned, an illegal terrorist organization by Israel. Ben-Gvir has been indicted 53 times, seven of which ended in convictions, including the support of a terrorist organization. Other things that Ben-Gvir strongly believes in, he says that for soldiers and police, he demands full legal immunity from indictment for misconduct. Israeli security forces are notorious for following a shoot-to-kill-first and ask-questions-later policy. However, Ben-Gvir has a campaign ad. It's actually linked at the Gaza Corner section of the Tangents playlist. Go to tangents.com. You'll see the Tangents playlist in the left-hand column. Thank you, Harry, for posting all of the links. And there's an ad that's linked that describes the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, as having its hands tied when it comes to shooting Palestinians, which is really not the case. But this is what Ben-Gvir is saying in order to get more votes. And the ad ends showing a Palestinian brandishing a knife. And then Ben-Gvir bursts into the picture and yells, "Shoot him!" And then he says, quote, "We're coming to make changes." That is Itamar Ben-Gvir, just one of his campaign ads. Haaretz reported, the Israeli newspaper Haaretz, reported that members of Itamar Ben-Gvir's party are attempting to form an armed civilian militia in the Tel Aviv suburb of Bat Yam, saying their intentions are to, quote, defend our home. Ran Cohen, who is chairman of the Organization of the Democratic Bloc, which monitors anti-democratic incitement and initiatives in Israel, said, quote, in the past year, we have witnessed the police losing control and the public security ministry turning a blind eye to the establishment of militias who walk the streets with guns. Ben-Gvir also favors, no surprise here, annexing the entire West Bank, which actually is under de facto annexation already. He used to proudly display, until a couple of years ago, a portrait of Baruch Goldstein, who massacred 29 Palestinian worshipers in the Ibrahimi Mosque in Hebron in 1992. He had the portrait right in his living room, very prominent. But he took it down for political reasons, he says, in 2020. He also calls for a legal ban on Jewish-Arab intermarriage. Josh Leifer of Jewish Currents adds this. This is from a recording from yesterday from a Zoom meeting that was moderated by journalist Peter Beinart. And Peter was very nice to get me, along with a colleague, Ken Silverman. They got me a copy of the Zoom call earlier than they had intended, so thanks to Peter and Ken. And here, Josh describes how Ben-Gvir advocates for the expulsion of Palestinian Knesset members and also other Palestinians.
He says, we'll deport the joint list MKs, and we will expel, we'll set up, he calls this, we'll set up a an office to support the emigration of Palestinians in the West Bank to get them out. And he's kind of proposing, I use this a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, but unfortunately it's true, like a final solution for the Palestinian problem in Israel in a way that other politicians on the right haven't.
In 1984, polls showed that approximately 15% of the Jewish Israelis endorsed the idea that, quote, Palestinians should be deported to Arab countries and Israeli Arabs induced to emigrate, which is a nice way of saying expulsion. In 2016, however, a Pew survey found that 48% of Israeli Jews agreed, quote, Israel should deport or remove Arabs from Israel, unquote. The idea of a forced expulsion of Palestinians from Israel, of course, is nothing new. It shaped Israel's founding during the 1947 until 49 Nakba. But now it's back into the heart of Israeli political discourse, largely due to politicians such as Itamar Ben-Gvir. He is all over Israeli television. So his ideas, such as mass population transfer and stripping Arabs and even Israeli leftists of their Israeli citizenship if they criticize the government, are now regularly advocated during prime time on TV because he's all over the place. However, unlike his ultra-nationalist, racist predecessors from a generation ago, Ben-Gvir is a clever politician, and he has somewhat toned down his extreme rhetoric on the campaign trail, and I'm talking subtle. Instead of deporting all Arabs, as he once advocated, he now calls only to deport those deemed, quote-unquote, disloyal. What that means, I mean, you could just hang a Palestinian flag outside your home and you could be deemed disloyal. Instead of death to Arabs, which was a common chant of his followers, now, during the campaign trail, he prefers his followers chant death to terrorists. It's interesting that despite being indicted 53 times, he was able to become a lawyer, and he emerged as one of the Kahanist right's most prominent legal advocates specializing in the defense of Jewish terror suspects. So death to Palestinian terrorists, but he will defend to the end Jewish terror suspects. Retired IDF General Yair Golan called Ben-Gvir, quote, a pathological lover of violence, a racist man with clear fascist tendencies, unquote. Here's Josh Leifer again from Jewish Currents on yesterday's Zoom call explaining the changes in Israeli society that have enabled Ben-Gvir's star to rise.
He's much more in harmony with the way mainstream Israeli society talks. Part of that also has to do with the way, with how Israeli society has shifted to the right over the years. So the kind of combination of religiosity and nationalism that Ben-Gvir uses when he talks doesn't seem out of place.
Israel really likes to think of itself as this beacon of democracy and liberal country in the Middle East, and yet it does all these things to suppress Palestinian rights and displace Palestinians, but they like to keep it on the hush-hush. Ben-Gvir is not a hypocrite. He says things out loud. If Netanyahu gets at least 61 Knesset seats in next Tuesday's election, Ben-Gvir will be the key reason. And Netanyahu is already on record as saying that he would deserve a ministerial post. He's mentioned two that he would like. Ben-Gvir would either like to be the Minister of Public Security, which is kind of weird considering that he's been charged with incitement to violence and terrorism charges, yet may become the person who oversees the police. His other wish is to become Israel's Minister of Justice, which would be a very powerful role that could conceivably create legislation that bypasses rulings of the Israeli High Court or finds a way to clear Netanyahu of his corruption charges. I'll end Gaza Corner with an extended quote from Josh. This is from his article called Kahanism's Raucous Return in Jewish Currents. Quote, "Yet one reason why Ben-Gvir has appeared so frightening is that he is willing to admit what the Zionist mainstream long denied. For all their distaste for Ben-Gvir's rhetoric, the members of the Knesset, of Yesh Atid and Meretz, the liberal parties, so-called liberal, remained in a government that oversaw the shuttering and persecution of leading Palestinian civil society organizations in the West Bank, enabled the ongoing mass transfer of the Palestinian communities of Masafer Yatta, and voted to extend the emergency legislation maintaining the two-tiered apartheid legal system in the West Bank. And they did so while mouthing rhetoric about the importance of democracy, equality, and rule of law. What Ben-Gvir offers, then, to the Israeli public, to use another Trump-era phrase, the permission is to, quote, say the quiet part out loud, unquote, to do away with obfuscation, euphemism, and to align intention and deeds. If there will be no two-state solution, Ben-Gvir says, then Israel will annex all the occupied territories if Palestinians refuse to accept their permanent second-class status and instead fight back, he warns, they will be removed one way or another from their land. Population transfer, ethnic cleansing, ethno-nationalism, Ben-Gvir asserts, have been part of Zionism since Israel's inception. And not only that, he argues, they are part of the Zionist legacy that Israelis should openly embrace again, unquote. All the source stories are at the Gaza Corner section of the Tangents playlist. And again, thanks to Ken Silverman and Peter Beinart for releasing yesterday's Zoom call early so I could access it and help prepare for this Gaza Corner.